scriptures in the Bible. I know a lot of times we'll take a passage and we'll work down each verse. That's probably what I end up doing the most, but sometimes you have to pull things together from different spots. And I know one of the downfalls sometimes, if you perfectly stay within a passage and move to the next one, sometimes you miss the connections that are together. There's a lot of connections in the Bible as you go through it time and time and time again, you start to pull those connections together. And the Bible helps explain itself. You know, I'm thankful that it is its own commentary. The Old and New Testaments work together. You know, there are things we can learn from it. And I'm just thankful, as always, for His Word. But we're going to look at John 8:44. This is something Jesus was saying to the Jews that were questioning and arguing with Him. He said this, John 8:44, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Lord, we thank you once again for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you for its truth. And Lord, I pray that you would help me tonight as we dig into your word, Lord, and that it wouldn't just become head knowledge, but Lord, help it to apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to understand this world that we live in. And Lord, just remind us of the importance to spread your word. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. And in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So the Jews were questioning with Jesus. They were arguing with him. This is that same spot where in the conversation they mentioned, I think, I can't remember exactly how they put it, but they said, "We were never in bondage." And I don't know how a Jew with a straight face could ever say in the history of Jews that they've never been in bondage. That's just ridiculous. But they were arguing with Jesus. They just didn't believe him. They didn't accept his message. And he finally, like he does oftentimes, a lot of times he'll get towards near the end of where they're, you know, questioning and pushing back, and he just gives it to them. And right here, he says, "You're of the father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He's saying, hey, if you are not following me, if you're not following Jesus Christ, you are following the will of the devil. You know, when the Bible says we were an enemy of God before we were saved, and that's hard for us to think about. It's hard for us to understand. Because we don't think about that's what we were literally doing. And if you were to ask a lost person in this world, "Are you an enemy of God?" most of them would not say yes. They would say no, and it'd say, "Well, the Bible says you are. You actually are going against him." And the reason, as we see right here, is because the devil is leading a lot of people astray in this world, and he's doing it with deception. He's doing it not with the truth, but with a lie, and people don't even realize they're doing his will. They're doing his bidding, basically. Now they have, you know, free will. They're making choices, but they don't realize that what they're doing is going against God. And Jesus explains about the devil. He says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So Jesus is telling us that the devil is a murderer and a liar. And then a couple chapters over, John 10, verse 10, Jesus also said this, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." So he's talking about that thief, and we know that the thief represents the devil that he's talking about, who seeks to steal, kill, and to destroy. And you can see that from the beginning. In the book of Genesis, you can see that happening. In Genesis chapter 3, remember, the devil is there in the form of a serpent. He comes to Eve, and he uses, what does he use? He doesn't use the truth. He uses deception. Amen? He uses that to destroy her and Adam's relationship with God by introducing sin into the mix. Now they made the choice to sin. sin. You can't blame it. You know, I know a lot of people say the devil made me do it. You can't fully blame the devil, but he is freely giving ideas to people, and a lot of people are freely taking it in and saying, that sounds good, right? That sounds like it's helpful, right? You know, she saw the fruit of the tree. She thought it would make her wise and everything else, but that sin. And then in the next chapter, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, remember Cain was angry because his sacrifice was not accepted, and his brother Abel's was accepted by God. And God told Cain, sin lieth at the door. He said, hey, you need to take care of this before it goes further. Amen. You need to check this sin before it rules over you, is actually what God said. It'll rule over you if you don't repent. And in the very next verse, Cain murders his brother Abel out in the field. You know, we see again, what did Jesus say? He said he's a murderer, right? That's what he called him from the beginning. And that's what you see, right? The first murder of the Bible, he was warned. Cain was warned by God because God was showing him mercy. And he said, hey, you better stop what you're doing, because the way you're going, that envy and that hatred and everything else in your life, and it led him. He didn't repent. He didn't listen to God. And it led him to murder his brother. But I believe the devil was behind that. I don't think that, I know Adam and Eve weren't teaching their kids to murder one another when they didn't get what they liked or they were mad or anything else. But this is what we see, right? We see this pattern in the Bible of stealing, killing, and destroying. And the devil's goal has always been to disrupt God's plan. From the beginning, he's wanted to do that. Remember how the devil started. He was a kind of a music leader, worship leader of the angels. You know, he was good with music and everything else. And he lost his position, right? He was tossed out when he tried to set his throne above God. And he has sought to ruin the human race ever since. He's tried to make sure that we don't have fellowship with God because of sin. And then in chapter 3 that we just talked about, remember God told him right after that encounter and everything, he said that the seed of the woman is going to crush you. You know, it's going to bruise your head. And then he said, okay, he didn't say this, but this was part of his plan. If the seed of the woman's going to crush me, I got to get rid of her seed, right? If I can get one to kill the other one, you know, surely God's not going to use the murderer to go after me. And he thought he disrupted God's plan. And that is what you see over and over again throughout the Bible. You see that with the seed of the woman. You see that when Jesus comes. We see that with Israel. We see that with the church. Over and over again, the devil has the same plan, the same goal. He wants to get the church shut down. He wanted to kill Jesus. He wants to end Israel. He still wants to end Israel. He wants to try to do all of these things because Jesus said he's a murderer and all he wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy. Have you seen it in your life? Right? That's what he wants to do. Have you seen it yourself that he wants to do that? Mike, what's he stealing from me? He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your health. He wants everything. He does not want any of us to enjoy anything. He doesn't want us to have a blessed life. He doesn't want us to have a relationship with God. He definitely doesn't want us to share Jesus Christ with anyone, but this is what he does. Right? And this is, you know, you think about all these things that he's doing. And then, you know, there are people that have given in to the devil. They've just about given him control. These, you know, in the Bible talks about possession. And I think in our minds, sometimes we think of possession as someone's going to act crazy. And that's part of it. But I think there are some people that are seem right-minded that are possessed, they are fully in control of the devil. I mean, Judas wasn't frothing at the mouth. He wasn't flopping around or anything else. But he was doing the devil's work. Amen. I mean, we've seen different things like this, but what he says, when he has control over a person, I believe that he can then fill them with the same passion as him. The deception, the stealing, the killing, the destroying. And they can take, and here's the thing, they can just, these people, that are just under his control. You think about, they don't even have a conscience when they take from people, right? They don't even have, it doesn't even bother them to steal. And I see that at work over and over again. They will steal people's life savings and they'll do it without even caring, right? They don't even care. But you know when they care is when they get caught. Remember Cain, when he got caught, he wasn't sorry. He wasn't repentant. He didn't beg for forgiveness. He said, my punishment is too much for me to bear, right? My punishment. He's still all about himself. And that's the devil, right? The devil was saying, I want to lift my throne above. I'm important. I'm blessed. I'm all these things. And that's what the problem is. He said the punishment was too great. And that's what we see today. A lot of these people, they don't have any regret or anything. They're just mad that they got caught. That's what it is. Not only, I believe, can an individual allow the devil to control them by giving in to his deceptions and everything else, but I believe that a nation can accept and promote and have demonic leadership. I believe that. I believe you can have leaders the same way that are listening to the devil, that are following his path and his plan and everything else. And a lot of times they don't see it, right? They're basically trading power, trading greed and everything for his control. But I believe we see countries, and you're thinking, well, Mike, do you really... Let me ask you this. If his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy, don't we have countries today that their goal is to do the same thing? They just want to steal. They want to take more land, right? They want to take what's not theirs. They want to kill, right? There are leaders out here that if they don't get what they want, they will just kill people. They don't care. Their life means nothing to so many leaders around the world. And destroy, they don't care about destroying anything as long as they get what they want. And that's what's going on. We see that around the world. And again, one of the ones, like I said a minute ago, Iran is in the news again because they're attacking Israel again with rockets and drones and different things like that. But I'll tell you what, Iran is a perfect example of that. They want Israel gone. They want the United States gone. Now how successful they'll be in that's another story. But that is their chief goal. They don't just want to have a good life, right? They don't want to for their citizens to live a good life. They want to destroy Israel. That's their chief purpose of the country altogether. But we know that Israel is God's chosen nation. And God chose Jerusalem as the capital of the world, right? Not Paris, not Rome, not anywhere else, but Jerusalem. That's his capital. That's where he's going to set up his throne. That's where the temple's going to be rebuilt. I don't know how, but it's going to be rebuilt. And that's the city that's never going away. Amen. There'll be a new Jerusalem. John's already seen it. But the last thing before the Lord returns, the Bible talks about, is an all-out war against Israel. An all-out war. Ezekiel 38, I'm not going to go into depth in this. I've preached it before. But if you go to chapter 38, it talks about a war against Israel. It says they're going to come from the north. And it mentions different countries, that different nations in the Bible that you have to go back and correlate with what they're called now. But modern day, the nations that are mentioned, it's talking about Russia, Turkey, Ethiopia, Libya. And then in verse 5, the first nation that's mentioned in all the list is Persia. Persia's Iran. And here's the thing, and I'm not saying that just because Iran attacked Israel, they've been attacked many times since they became a nation. I'm not saying that this is going to trigger anything, but I one of the things we ought to stop and think about is who are Israel's biggest enemies right now? Well, I already told you, Iran's always been an enemy. But what about Russia? Right, I mentioned Russia was in there. They're coming from the north. And I can't remember how you say it, but it starts with an S. But that's what Russia was called in the Bible. And if they team up together and come from the north, Russia's not too happy with us either right now. Amen. They're not happy with a lot of places. So it doesn't seem that far-fetched. And one of the things that we think about is a lot of these prophecies of Israel being attacked, they couldn't have even been fulfilled until 1948. Amen? Till Israel became a nation. If there was no Israel, you can't attack them. You can't have an all-out war. So pieces have been put in place over the decades. And I'll read Ezekiel 38, verse 15 says this, And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. And it shall be in the latter days I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, it shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. And it talks about such a huge army in that day. It'll say, as a cloud will cover the land. I mean, just an innumerable army. And you think about today, if you pull in a whole bunch of armies from different countries, it would be an enormous force. And then, but verse 15, it talks about riding on horses and a great company and everything else. And I know a lot of people would say, well, there's no way that could be now, right? There's no way they could use horses. Well, there are horses today, but I will say this, Ezekiel has no idea. If he were to see what was going on today and the military technology and everything else, what's he going to call it, right? What's he going to, he doesn't have words for it or anything else. So who knows? He's never seen what we have today. But does this mean the end is near? Here's my $1 million answer. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know one thing. We're closer now than we were. Amen. Yeah. We're closer. More pieces are set in place. Right? How many nations are led to steal, kill, and destroy? I feel like there's more and more that are getting that goal. Right? More and more are joining in. How many of their leaders will just murder and not even care? Again, I think we're seeing a rise in dictators around the world. Right? That is rising. That's not going down. So then what's a Christian do? And I was brought back to a familiar passage, 1 Peter chapter 5. This shouldn't be anything new or nothing you haven't heard many times. 1 Peter 5, 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Remember, what does the devil use? Not only does he steal, kill, and destroy, and murder, but he's a liar, right? It says the father of it. He uses deception, and we know that the opposite of deception is one thing. It's the truth. Amen. As long as we fill ourselves with the truth, and more importantly, we tell this lost world about the truth. But Peter's saying, hey, we've got to be more vigilant, more sober, more alert than we ever were, because the deception is increasing. It's not decreasing. It would be decreasing if the word was increasing. But I'll tell you what's sad is in a lot of our churches, the people are sitting in our pews, their knowledge of the Bible is pretty sad. A lot of people, we can't have that. We've got to get into it. We've got to fill our hearts and minds with the truth of the word of God now more than ever. And if we're going to resist the devil, we can't do that ourselves. You know, I know some people act like they're superhuman and everything else, but we're no match for the weakest angel, and he's not the weakest. But verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Amen. If we're going to resist the devil, do you know how we do it? Not on our own strength. We do it by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, faith in his word, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You and I, we can't strengthen ourselves when it comes to fighting spiritual warfare. We can't do it ourselves. I can't establish myself more than I am today. And here's the thing, the more I watch the news, the more I keep track of what's going on. All that does is add fear and confusion and everything else in my mind and in my heart. But I'm telling you what we can do is we can look to God, right? We can watch for these things. We can try to apply it to God's word and make sure that we're living it and realize that time may be drawing short. And then we can find hope, of course, in his word in verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Aren't you glad in these last days? What's he saying? He's saying, hey, you're going to suffer a while, right? But you're going to be made more perfect, more complete. You're going to draw closer to the Lord. He will establish you with his glory. He will strengthen you. And I'm glad at the end it says he will settle you. I'm telling you what, we're living in unsettling times. You watch the things that are happening. And unfortunately on social media, that doesn't add peace. That doesn't add understanding. But once we can get into his word, we can pray to him. We can draw on his precious promises. We can be settled in the Lord, because we can know one thing. I don't care what comes against Israel. I don't care what armies come against them. They will continue, right? The Lord is there. He will take care of them. Amen. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, and this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I was even near the end there, it's talking about the enemies, right, coming against him. And I was thinking of what we were talking about this morning with Paul. Amen, right? We've got enemies coming up against us. We've got enemies camped on around. And David said, I've been here before, right? I've seen enemies around us. I've seen war. I've seen everything else. And you know what he said? You've got to wait on the Lord. Amen. You've got to wait on him and let him take care of you. Let him establish you. Let him strengthen you. Let him settle you. And we can draw strength from his word. And like I say over and over, we got to stick to his word, stick to his will. And we'll see souls saved before it's too late. I'm never going to stop praying for Israel. But I know in the bottom of my heart, Israel's okay. Now as for this nation, I don't know. I don't have the promises that I have for Israel for here. But I'll tell you what, I don't have the promise for my life either. I don't know how much longer I'll live. I don't know how many more opportunities I'll get. Maybe he calls us home very soon. But I'll tell you one thing. We got a job to do. Amen. And the more I look into his word, the more I see that our job that we have to do is no matter what happens. Amen. What we tell preachers is we turn to that passage that says, be ready instant, in season and out of season. I thought I knew that, I knew what that meant till not too long ago. And I realized that it meant when it feels good, when you want to do it, and when it doesn't feel good, and when you don't want to do it. And I was like, man, that's true, isn't it? We got to keep going. And then, like I said this morning, I like what Paul said. He said, and we can do it all like he did, with simplicity and with godly sincerity. Amen. We'll do it with sincerity. We'll do it with truth. We'll live as best as we can to this world, living a life of a changed life by Jesus Christ. Is this the end? I don't know. But if it is, we got to get busy. Amen. We're going to open up the altar tonight if you need to pray.